For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, July the 5th, 1992. Family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Earl Moore of Indianapolis, Indiana, is the minister of the evening.
Well, you know, I'm not a spring chicken in age, and I've been around a day or two, seen a lot of things, been a lot of places. And so has Brother Jack Moore. The more we see, the more we go, the more we realize that there's a lot of things we don't know. But we thank the Lord for all that He's showing us and all that we're learning. And it takes Brother Jack Moore and Brother Jack Harris and Earl Moore, Brother Jack Harris and all the different ministries who come here to teach us so that we understand what the Lord is saying to us today. If we just sat and listened to one man teach or one denomination teach, you will be lopsided. I want to know the fullness of the Lord. And the only way we can come to that understanding of that fullness of the Lord is as we listen to the prophets and apostles and teachers and evangelists and pastors, as we have the fivefold ministry to minister and teach us as we come and set and hear the word of the Lord at the feet of the teachers who God has and is raising up to teach us in these last days, so that we will not walk in error, but we will walk in truth, because there's a lot of error in the land. Brother Earl.
Hallelujah. I pastored a church for a while, about 25 years, Anderson, Indiana, and we was on a national radio program, and they introduced me, Brother Anderson from Mooresville, Indiana. And I tell folks that doesn't matter. God forevermore. Amen. God is good. And I appreciate what God is doing in this day. And I think there's every time we needed to get our ears open to hear what the Spirit's saying in purity, without mixture. You know, too many of us still have a Samaritan relationship, sort of a mixture. We're still bringing our Ishmaels before God and asking Him to bless it. We make a plan and tell God to bless it. I think it's time we come and find God's plan and follow it. Hallelujah. The people will hear the direction of God. He said, I'll never lead you erringly. I'll never lead you astray. We have to have that confidence. I know in whom I believe. I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I've heard much said here about going back and picking up the weaknesses of past generations, but I go back and pick up my strengths.
Amen.
Yes. The blessing of Abraham's come upon me.
Amen.
And my Lord and Savior is my strength.
Yes.
And my life.
Yes.
Whom shall I fear?
Amen.
I have victory in Him. Yes. I have a heritage as far as Spirit-filled people's concerned. Everybody clear back to my grandparents on both sides of my house. It was all Spirit-filled. My brothers and sisters, all Spirit-filled. My son, my daughter, Spirit-filled. And many of them ordained ministers. And I thank God for that sort of a heritage. They tell me, way back in the pioneer days of America, I got an ancestor by the name of Mr. Pike that was a circuit-riding preacher. And when he died, he had four sons, and he gathered them to his bedside, and he said, boys, I haven't got much of life's goods to give to you, I've spent my life preaching the gospel. But he handed each one of them a Bible and said, this is your inheritance and those that follow you because of my faithfulness unto the Lord. My nephew, who has run my lineage back, I have a lineage clear back to King David through the house of Arimathea. Means nothing. I'm saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. But my nephew run the lineage of this great ancestor of mine by Mr. Pike, and he counted over 168 ordained ministers that's come from the loins of that man. So I say, look for your strength in God. Let's look for our victories. Hallelujah. I am not weak. I am strong. I am an overcomer. I am victorious. I mean, not because of me, but because of him. He keepeth my feet from falling. And he has never laid anything on me that he didn't figure it out before he gave it to me. With the temptation, he's already figured out the way of escape. Hallelujah. So, if you're in a problem, look to the one that caused it to come your way, and he's already figured it out, and he'll give you the answer. My traveling around, my boy, when he was growing up, he had a knack for little puzzles, and if I'd find one I thought he would like, I would give it to him. It would intrigue him to try and take it apart, put it together or something. And I bought one little plastic bag, and on it was the answer, and I ripped it off, and I stuck it in my pocket, and I handed it to him, and he took it to his room, and he worked on it, I guess off and on, for about 3 days, and finally brought it in and threw it down at my feet, and he said, Dad, there's no way you can work this one. I said, oh, I forgot. And I reached in my pocket, and I handed the answer. It took him about 1 minute or two, and he said, man, that's easy. I find when I got my problems, if I take them to Jesus, he's the answer. I have no problem. It's over with. Commit all thy ways unto him. Let him direct thy steps. For those that don't know me, just by way of introduction, I'm a Hoosier from Indiana. I come from an old French term back when the French settled Indiana. They came knocking on the door, and they would say, who is there? Only the French just run it together. Who's there? And so we've been who's theirs ever since. Amen. Now, my mother and father were saved before I was ever born. Spirit-filled, mother an evangelist, my father a minister. And when you got saved back in those days, you usually fired the doctor and canceled the insurance policy. And I was just an infant. And mother tells me I was sitting in a high chair and she'd taken the tray off. And I went to lunch for something on the table and I fell out of the high chair and I struck my chin on the edge of the table and bit my tongue almost half in two. And I was not given, rushed to a hospital. The tongue was allowed to grow back together. Didn't go back together right. Doctor finally, when they finally was taken to a doctor, said this child will never talk right. And I couldn't. I learned to talk with a terrible impediment. Young children made fun of me. I went into a stoppage of speech and stuttering. And in this condition, at the age of 9 and a half, an angel of the Lord appeared to me in the backyard of where we're living and said, you're going to preach the gospel. That's foolish because I can't talk. People can't understand me. And I remember a few weeks after that, my Sunday school lesson was about Aaron and Moses. And I walked home from Sunday school and I looked up toward the heavens and I said, Lord, if you've got to send an Aaron along to do my talking, why don't you just use Aaron and leave me alone? And the Lord spoke in my heart and said, but son, you don't understand. I will be your Aaron. Now, I didn't know what that meant. That was the first time I ever heard the Lord actually speak in my heart. But it sounded all right. And I said, fine. You know, that's all right. And I found out he is. And God began a miraculous healing in my speech. By the time I was 16 years of age, I graduated from the largest high school in the state of Indiana, the largest graduating class they'd ever have, and the top 50 on the honor roll. God's good. He's faithful. But I began to study about angels. I found out they're real. I've had two. I've actually had three angelical experiences in my life. I've got two of them, and I've incorporated in a little book that we've written called Angels Are for Real. A personal testimony plus the ministry of angels. Not only angels, but also the angels that are not of God. The spirits we need to flee from and who we need to cleave to. And I got a letter from a man in prison who had got a hold of my book and read it. And he said, "You pray for me. I think through my lifetime up until now I've been listening to the wrong angels." I answer the question in here for reincarnation and all this so-called regression. It's all the familiar spirit realm. It's all of the enemy realm that we need to stay out of. Hallelujah. So we have that book back there. And also, some of you have already got this, is Revealing the Christ of the Revelation. And I said last night, mentioned here, that I was 15 years putting this book together. I had people say a long time, "Why don't you get this out?" And I said, "No, if the whole thing don't fit, none of it fits." And I began to see Christ in the book of the Revelation. And he's real. And I tell folks, we're not abdicating. We're taking over. We serve notice to the devil and all the forces of hell. The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof. And all they that dwell therein. Hallelujah. And it's up to you and I. See, my Lord already whipped the socks off of the devil. Made an open show of him. Triumphed over him. And I tell you, with all the authenticity of the Word of God, there is not going to be a return match. Amen. My God's already champion. And he's not going to give the devil a second chance. Most futures try to make you think there's going to be another round and the devil's get another chance at the Lord. But that's not so. That's born out of the things the enemy wants us to believe, not what the Word of God tells us. Hallelujah. Christ, our head, has defeated the enemy. And we as children of the Lord, we too must defeat him. We must triumph over him through the power that God gives you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. This victory is ours. Somebody said, "What's ahead for us?" I'm not a doomsday preacher. I preach for 25 or 30 years. Communism is done for. I mean, they almost set me down in places. I mean, they wanted communism to take America, you know. And I said, "It can't. The earth is the Lord's." You know, the 39th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, the famous Third World War. I used to say, that's the day revival's coming to Russia. The Bible said, when he comes to be glorified in their eyes. And we're seeing that take place. God is beginning to rise up to the prey. We're going to see nations that you've never saw before tumble. And doors are going to be opened to the message of Jesus Christ. And the day's coming when you'll either be saved or you'll be dead. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, want to turn with me, 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. This is the flyaway chapter. Amen. Matthew 24. I want to tell you, I appreciate Brother and Sister Miller.
Amen.
I think I ought to give them a great big hand. Anything you can do while you're here to help lift that load, do it to help them. Bless them. And when you leave here, don't forget them. Keep them in your prayer list. Keep them on your support list. Keep them on your encouragement list. It wouldn't hurt you once in a while that their name comes across your mind after you prayed for them. Write them a card. Let them know that. Just Let them know you're still there. Word of encouragement means so much. Because sometimes you feel like you're fighting a losing battle, and it's good to know that somebody's there. And I think David felt real good when he was having his cave experience, that he found some friends that come and visit him while he's in the cave. Hallelujah. But God's good. The Bible tells us in the 35th verse of the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But the day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. The Bible tells us we know times and seasons. You know, we got all hung up. I was raised on a farm boy. And I planted corn and I planted crops. And if you'd followed me while I was planting some of my crops and asked me, what time are you going to pick the tomatoes and what time are you going to harvest the corn? I would tell you about when, but it was impossible to tell you the day or the hour. But I think we're seeing signs and seasons.
Yes.
And I'm not worried so much about day or hour because I'm still walking in the now of God. If you will find a now relationship with God and you never walk out of that now relationship, you will always be where you ought to be in the right relationship to receive anything God's got for you now and forever. Praise the Lord. If you're living in the dreams of the past and the hopes of the future, you can miss the blessings of now. Because God will never be any more than what He is now. 10,000 years from now, He'll only be what He is now. Because God lives in the now. You have all that there is now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah, I know it does not yet appear what it shall be, but when I get to that, it's going to be there. It's going to be now. Still going to be, because I'm walking in the fullness of what He is right now, what He's pouring out now, believing Him now, exercising myself to the fullness of what He has for me now. You make full proof of your ministry now. It will begin to move. You know, if you're waiting for some wonderful something to happen to you, forget it. If you don't start using what you got in the house, don't expect an increase. But if you use what's already in the house, make full proof of that. There's an inexhaustible supply of everything God's got. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, everything was just like it is now. They ate, they drank, they married, they gave in marriage. Nothing really unusual. I've heard preachers preach that, oh, they'll be married, given in marriage. They've been doing that since the days of Adam. He says, you're not going to see something so super spectacular. Amen. And they knew not. They had their what walk in the place. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Luke said He took the evil ones away. Amen. Praise the Lord. I came up an old legalistic super holiness Pentecost. And if none of you know what that is, thank God you never had to endure such legalisms. And I began to find out that there was a work. Matter of fact, when I first went to Anderson, a lady met me, was having a radio broadcast. And we was on every day, and I met her in the shopping mall. And I said, have you heard our broadcast? She said, oh, yes. But said, Brother Moore, you're not preaching holiness like you used to. I said, well, I may not preach like your brand, but I believe in holiness more than I ever did before. I found out there's nothing holy about me but the Holy God that lives in me. And without that Holy God, or more, to please God. Amen. That's the holiness without which it's going to take a holy God in you to see God. You're not going to see God. God's a spirit. Amen. They got folks talking about going to see God someday. You ain't read your book yet. All of God you ever see is vested in you and in Him and through the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, no man sees the Father of any time. Praise the Lord. Somebody said, oh, but Moses saw Him. Did you ever read what Moses saw? Moses saw back to the Alpha of God. And he wrote in Genesis that the what he saw of God, he saw back to creation. He saw the hinder part of God. He seen what God had already done, but he never saw the Omega God. When John comes along, he seen the Alpha and the Omega of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But God is but as a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I was preaching a revival meeting in Greencastle, Indiana, and I had a pilot friend of mine who was in kind of on the know when they broke the sound barrier. Back in the days when they broke the sound barrier, they didn't have powerful enough planes to break the sound barrier going at level speed. The only way they could get planes that fast was to go up and take power dives. And in the power dives, they would get enough speed to break the sound barrier. But they were pulling what they called so many G's that they would black out. And they would train those pilots that just as you're blacking out, and your hand's on that stick of the plane, pull back on it. And that'll pull the plane up out of the power dive. But in spite of all the tests and the trials, we were losing some of the ace pilots. They were crashing planes till they had almost decided to abandon the idea of trying to break the sound barrier. And one of the pilots talked him to let him try it. And he was waiting and holding off just as much as he could as he's going to the speed he was going, he wanted to break the sound barrier. And just as he's get to that point, before he could pull back on the stick, according to the story, he blacked out. And instead of pulling back, he went like that, which should have made the plane go like that and crash. And the plane pulled out. And they found out as they go through the sound barrier, as they're breaking it, the controls work in reverse. After they get through, it's all right. But just they go through. And, of course, nowadays don't make that much difference because they get it on a straight plane. And that moment going through there, it was not as disastrous as it was when you stood it in power dives. And this was a thought I was taking. It seemed like a lot of things we had taught, God was saying it's not like that. And I'd preached 3-4 nights that way. And I wound up coming back to the old traditional way I had heard since I was a youngster and had preached Matthew 24 that the saints of God are going to be raptured and all the wicked folks will be left here to take over the earth. Well, we're at the fellowship hall and an old gentleman sitting there and he said, Brother Moore, could we be backwards about Matthew 24 chapter? And I said, oh, Brother Bowman, we're not backwards about everything. He said, then how come between verse 39 and 40, you make an about face? And I said, oh, I didn't do that. He said, let's go read it. I'll show you. And he said, let's go back. And he read this. He said, for 38 verses is in the days before the flood. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also coming of the Son of Man be. And I said, Brother Moore, who's taken away? And then he flips over to Luke and makes it more plain. And I said, well, the wicked folks, them died in the flood. He said, then how come when you get the 40th verse, you got two in the field, one taken, the other left, and you say it's the righteous folks is taken and the wicked's left? And I said, huh? Let's go over that again. And so we went through that. And we sit there and talked about it, and so we began to search some scriptures, and I found out, the Bible said the mouth of two or three witnesses. I found in Matthew, the 13th chapter, he's going to take the tares out first. Then he's going to gather the grain in the garner. I find in Thessalonians, he's coming to take flaming vengeance on them that obey not the gospel first. Then he's going to be glorified in his saints. He's going to be admired in all of them that believe. Going home that night, my wife, who's going to be with the Lord, said to me, said, "Now, you're not going to preach that kind of stuff, are you?" And I said, "Well, I don't know, but I'm sure going to do some studying." And the more I studied, the more I began to realize that God's divine ultimate purpose is to destroy the workers of iniquity. This is why sin is being amplified, because in the harvest time, everything manifests itself what it is. Not only does the wheat come to fruition, but the milkweed and the ragweed and everything else. But they don't come to harvest to be gathered into the barn. They're gathered together to be burned. And this is why you're seeing wickedness seemingly being exposed as it never has before, so God can knock it, if you want to say it, in the head and destroy it and perish it from the earth, because my Bible said that he's his good pleasure to give to us the kingdom. The kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. Hallelujah. So don't get alarmed. What's our problem? Our problem is that we have not, as the church, been concerned enough to lay hold of the horns of the altar enough to see a change take place. If you remember back in Egypt, God told Jacob, "I will not leave you here in Israel, in Egypt. I will deliver you out." 400 years later, the Bible says, a little over 400 years, the Lord remembered his promise to Jacob and said, "I'll take you out." Time, the Lord got ready to take them out. The children of Israel living up in Goshen with houses and cattle and land, and they're not ready to go anyplace. You know what the Lord had to do? He had to raise up a Pharaoh that didn't know anything about Joseph nor the children of Israel. And he began to make himself a taskmaster over the children of Israel. And the Bible said, by reason of the oppression, the children of Israel began to pray, "God, get us out of here. Oh, we'd like to see revival come. We'd like to see some things change." But my Bible said the day of Zion travail, and some of the problem is being made manifest, is to get you to begin to travail before God so he can do what he's purposed in himself to do from before the foundation of the world. The Bible said he waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it. Waiting for the early and the latter rain. Waiting for you and I to pray the rain down. To pray the power down. To get a hold of God. To believe God. To walk in God. To possess our possession in God and decree it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Time coming when God's going to have people who's going to speak the word of God in their bedchambers and shake the halls of Congress. Hallelujah. He's going to raise up prophets that are real prophets and apostles that are real apostles. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. We've walked in part and seen in part, but God's going to endue us with a knowledge and a wisdom of him that we're going to have and know that we're going to walk in and cry out that we're going to put, as it were, the prophets of the Old Testament to shame. We're in kindergarten yet.
Amen.
We haven't got the men like you read about in the Bible, but God still got them in his plan and program.
Hallelujah.
And he's going to utter his voice before his army. And they're going to come. Hallelujah. Whew. They're hidden everywhere.
Hallelujah.
God's got them hidden away.
Amen.
They're like David hid in the cave. They're anointed to be kings, but they have not yet ascended to their place of authority. But God's got them, hallelujah. And he's going to utter his voice, and the army of the Lord is going to start marching in this land, and it will not break rank. I shared with my brother the other night.
Hallelujah.
Back in 1976, when they were having so much about America's 200th anniversary, and they were playing videos or movies of days back in the colonial days, formation of our Declaration of Independence and George Washington's life. And one of them one night that they were showing was the life of Paul Revere and his march through every village, metal sect and farm, declaring the British are coming. And it showed him going through, crying out like a town crier. And out of this farmhouse would come an old farmer with his rifle, pulling his overalls on, you know, joining somebody in the road, one of them throwing a hat on. As they begin to move down through the road, two by two, and then four by four, and then some more behind them, and more behind them, and more behind them. And there was a British soldier in the little film they were showing, hiding behind a stone wall, and he saw this army of these common folks come marching down the road. And he runs off to the British general, and he said, "You ought to see it. I've never seen an army like it." And he said, "Where did they come from?" He said, "I don't know, but they're coming." Hello. And sometime later, the Lord mentally played that back to me. And I begin to see the army of the Lord. Ooh, he's got one here. He's got an apostle here. He's got a prophet there. He's got a prayer warrior here. He's got a champion here. And he's going to utter his voice. Hallelujah. And they're going to come, hallelujah, out of every Middlesex village and farm. And they're going to join arm to arm and shoulder to shoulder. And they're not going to break rank. And the enemy's going to look and say, "Where cometh this army?" And they said, "I don't know, but they're coming. They're going to take over the earth." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Kings are going to tremble. Nations are going to fall. And God's going to be glorified. Hallelujah. I have not always believed this. I taught for many years a pre-trib rapture. Us poor weak saints, when God saw we couldn't stand anymore. Sometime it went Monday midnight. He's going to come and snatch us all away. Out beyond the sun and the moon and the stars. I just hear a song, "We're going to walk up the Milky White Way." You know, "I'm going to my mansion over yonder." Some are more satisfied. "They only want a cabin in the corner of Glory Land." Others want a gold one that's silver lined. Somebody else wanted theirs built next door to Jesus. Aren't you glad for our songbook theology? It's full of lies. Falsehoods. I'd be good if we'd get back to the Bible and find what the Bible said. I was amazed one day when God brought me to Revelation. I'm not going to a mansion. I am one. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, you're a temple. You're a mansion. What makes Hot Springs a city is the people. Or the houses that are here. If we're the mansions, whenever we're gathered together, we are that city of God. God said you're that city. Set on a hill that cannot be hid. Praise the Lord. But we've been taught, there's so many things we've been taught. You know, I used to think God had an Angelical Carpenters Union over there. Matter of fact, I heard a song not long ago. It said, "Build another cabin. Now build another mansion. Somebody else just got saved, you know." He's building the mansions out of the material you send up there. If you send up a lot of material, have a beautiful mansion. If you don't send up material, you may have one of those log cabins over on the other side of the railroad tracks up or somewhere. You know? I'm glad I found out we're the city. And John said that city's coming down. Matter of fact, it came down on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. The New Jerusalem. We're it. Glory. So I started a while ago about angels. The spirit world is more real than any of this realm you see right here. Now, there's only two ways you're going to see into that realm. Either you have got to be elevated high enough to see it, or it has to come down to your level where you can behold it. Now, remember back Elijah's servant? And he said, "Open the young man's eyes and let him see what I already know." Hallelujah. And the young man's eyes was open, and he saw the hills filled with the chariots of the Lord, until he cried out, "They that be for us are more than they that be against us." God elevated him and let him see into that realm. Paul was elevated and saw into that realm. John was elevated and saw into that realm. But many other places in the Bible, angels came down to the levels of men. But I declare to you, the angels are not in some faraway heaven. They're here on earth.
Yes.
Remember Jacob's ladder? What were the angels doing? Huh? What was he doing first? What was he doing first? Where did they start from? From here. They didn't descend and go back up. They ascended and descended. You're here. Hallelujah. Let me ask you tonight, where's Jesus? Christ in you, dwelling in the midst of his brethren. Where two or three are gathered together, I'm there. Do I believe in him beyond this? Yes. Because he is omnipotent and he's omnipresent. Now, we have a doctrine going through the land today that, you know, we're going to be gods. You know. And they take that scripture, "Ye are gods." That's what Father Divinism. You know. Every once in a while, what goes around comes around. There's not much of junk that's being preached today. I haven't heard it sometime in my life because I've had the Holy Spirit for over 65 years. Amen. So, and I've been preaching for over 50 years. So, there's a lot of things I hear, and I think, wait, you're just reviving some of the junk. I mean, don't come back. That came and went, you know. But there's some things that stand forever. When it says ye are gods, that's possessive. It says you belong to God. You're his property. He bought you. He bought my soul. He bought me wholeheartedly at Calvary. He bought and paid for me. I'm not my own. Now, I need to be full of him, and so full of him I might be mistaken for him, but I never become him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. John saw somebody in the book of Revelation, and he walked with the Lord. And he mistook him for the Lord. And he fell at his feet to worship him. And whoever it was, whatever it was, rebuked him and said, "I am of the brethren, you worship God." Now, in our eternal estate, we are still only going to be like the resurrected Lord. You will never, ever be like the ascended Lord. Because in his ascension, he made his body spirit. He said, "I go to the Father." Now, he did not have to go anywhere geographical to go to the Father. Because he told Philip that he'll see me, see the Father. I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. So he didn't have to go from point A to point B to go to be with the Father. He's talking about a relationship. He's ascending to that dimension of omnipotence, omnipresence, because in his earthly confinement, he was geographically locked to one location at a time, like at the time of Lazarus' death. He was here, but he couldn't be over there. But now he can be here, and he can be halfway around the world at the same split second. Somebody, do you understand that? No, I don't understand it. It's beyond my mental capacity, but I believe it because the book says it, and there's enough Christians around the world to prove what I'm saying is a fact. And the world, hallelujah. But he's bringing the people today. As our dear pastor said a while ago, he's endowing a people who's going to be, terminology can be changed and called many things, but saviors on Mount Zion, sons of God. But there are going to be a people who are fully filled, submitted, surrendered unto God. Until God has taken and consumed your life, till your life becomes so hid with Christ in God that your life don't even appear. God's looking for a people who've got nothing to gain and nothing to lose. Every kingdom builder is going to be destroyed. Amen. I don't care who your favorite is. Doomsday is already written for their ministry. Amen. You know, in the parable in Matthew 13 chapter, it said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's cast into the ground, and when it's got in the ground, why, you know, you can't even find it. But it springeth up and it become a tree until the birds of the air come and lodge in its branches. But you got to remember, not every bird that lodges in the branches is part of the tree. They may build their nest in the tree, and they may feed off of the tree, get their living off of the tree, but they're not part of the tree. Amen. Revelation calls them caged, unclean birds that's come and lodged in the branches of the kingdom and fed off of it and live off of it. But God's going to chase the birds out one of these days. I know. Sometimes you can't see that. I've seen starlings come to you, come out to see the tree for the starlings. But God's going to let the beauty of the tree be seen and the fruit of the tree. A lot of them eat the fruit off. You know, and I say, why, where's the fruit of the Spirit? Where's all this? Well, a lot of birds have eaten it. Amen. Hallelujah. But there's a shaking coming. You've got to find and you've got to know your place in God. And you've got to be shaken. And you stand so standing in God, you can't be shaken. Because the shaking is taking place. Hallelujah. When I began to write the book of Revelation, God began to show me that this was a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of the symbols begin to take on a total different aspect. I found out the blood that it was talking about is not blood that's going to come out of the faucet, but it's the blood of Jesus Christ that's been poured out. Water is this type of people. It's either accept Jesus, there is salvation and no other name. Greek mythology is not going to work no more. The paganisms of the world won't work. The idols of the world are fallen. There's only one thing and only salvation one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And His blood has been poured out on the waters, has been poured out on the drinking places. And you either accept the Lord Jesus Christ or you will perish. I read it when the first trumpet sounds. See, the Lord began to show me that the first seal was opened in the first church age. Because the work of the Holy Ghost, the work of the seals is the work of the Holy Ghost. God opened a church age. He sounded a message. There was a trumpet sound. And all those who failed to hear it had to suffer the judgments of it. See, you can ignore me tonight. And I can ask you a question and you can just totally be turned off and not even say anything. But when Christ asks you a question, you have to answer. When He says, "Son, give me thine heart," it wasn't a turnoff. You had to make a decision. Give Him your heart or don't give Him your heart. And I've heard through my lifetime, testimony after testimony, I would be filling a drunkard's grave, but I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I've been in prison, but I took Jesus as my Savior. And I heard story after story after story where life has been changed because they took Jesus. Well, if those that don't take Him and those haven't accepted Him and those won't accept His message begin to see problems and trouble come. And I read in when the first trumpets sound, that there's fire and blood and hail. And when I begin to look up what the Bible says, I found out that hail, according to Isaiah, it says, hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. So hail in the Bible is truth. And in the apostolic days, we had a hailstorm. The truth of the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ was heralded, and it affected one third of the world. The blood of Jesus cried out for salvation. Trees are men. Waters are men. There's different things that God still speaks to that has a reference to mankind. And those that wouldn't accept Him, the Word of God they were burnt up. The Holy Ghost fire just consumed. Paul standing on Mars Hill destroyed mythology of Greece in one message. For out of Mars Hill they had built temples to every god that Greek had. God of Mercury, God of the sun, God of the moon. They had temples all over the top of that mountain. And perhaps in case there was one that they had missed and he wouldn't be offended, they built one temple. Paul called them altars and said to the unknown God, in case we miss one, he can claim that one. And Paul standing there said, I beheld all your superstitions and your worship. And I see over here this altar or temple built to the unknown God. And that's what I'm going to declare to you. And when he got through talking about the unknown God, all the other gods were gone. Hallelujah. Truth come against the error of the ages past. And I notice in the last sounding of the last trumpet, there's some more hail, the size of talent. Now, you've heard radio preachers say, oh, you think you've seen big hail. Oh, wait till the rapture takes place. And you're left here for that tribulation. And that hail comes, one hunk of ice is going to crush your home. You know it's going to be that great. Baloney. He's talking about great truth. We're going to witness truth like we've never heard truth before. Great truth. Hallelujah. Going to crush some things. I agree it's going to crush things. It's going to crush the doctrines of men and the ways of men. And God is going to empower His people with a power and an authority over all of the power of the enemy. Hallelujah. Till the enemy coming to you, you'll just have to shake his head and walk away. Finally, have no part in you. Praise God. God's got great plans for you. He's got great plans for this age because we are in the closing days of this age. And God's raising up a people to take us into another millennium. Hallelujah. I don't know if our time clock is right or not. I'm not trying to outguess anybody anywhere. But I tell by what's going on, things happening in the earth, and it's happening so quick. I mean, we've seen things take place, that shaking's coming, governments are shaking. We're at a place right now. Did you know that God is going to shake and remove everything you've got trust in outside of Him? Hallelujah. I wrote this in 1972. I said there are five things. I wrote them from my Bible that must be shaken and removed. One, the banking and financial institutes. Two, the religious systems. Three, the educational systems. Four, the government and political structures. Five, the medical and insurance systems. And we are seeing nearly every one of those being shaken right now. Hallelujah. 1972, yes. Because This is a day when God is going to be Lord. He's going to have a people who's going to trust Him. A people who's going to know their God. They that do know their God will be strong and do exploits.
Hallelujah.
A people that have such a confidence, I know in whom I believe. I don't stand here tonight and you say, well, Brother Moore, you don't know what I've been through. You know, I'm not crying towel out. Not for one second. I'm only telling you this because I want you to know that God's victor. I used to wave a flag and tell folks, but I was 3.5 years with the Heritage USA Ministries in Charlotte, North Carolina. I was a Sunday pastor for over a year. And my wife was head receptionist and an organist. And when I didn't have a service, I worked with Uncle Henry. And I was headed up their publishing department. My wife was head receptionist, and she played for the services or sang for the services, or I had one of the services. I was outreach chaplain. I had the Saturday seminars. I was Sunday pastor. I filled any time a minister didn't show up in the evening. And so we were working 8 to 10 hours a day and in church every night, going 6 and 7 nights a week, just going like that day and night and day and night. And I overdrove myself, and I had a heart attack. I woke up in the hospital there in Charlotte, North Carolina, and God grew me a bypass. And the doctor said, if you go back, you go back under the same stress, you'll never have another one. And so I left there, and we decided to move down to Port Orange, Florida. Pastor down there wanted somebody to work with him. He traveled and co-pastor with him. He did not tell me his marriage was on the rocks. So we put our house up for sale. We put everything on earth we had hired a moving van and put it in the moving van. And we drove on down there to find out that marriage had split, the church had split, and there was no church to go to. I'm a recovering heart patient. And the boss where I had been at PTL thought he was doing good. So he fired me because it wasn't good to have somebody that had a heart problem be in management of a healing ministry. Can you imagine it now? It's just hard to figure that one out. But so while we're down there, we get a phone call. Said, sorry, your moving van has been involved with a wreck with a semi. Rolled over 20-foot embankment. It had been raining. And the little creek was now a roaring river, and everything we had on earth was gone. No church. Bought the house, sitting in an empty house. We packed up what few little belongings we had and put in a car. We drove back to Indiana, moved back in the apartment with my daughter. And a year and a half later, a truck loaded with grain ran a stop sign and hit the car my wife and daughter was in. And they both went to be with the Lord. And I had people have the foolish talk to me. Brother Moore, how can you hang in there? Why don't you give up? And I said, to who? To who? I'm not going to surrender to the devil. He's my problem. But I know people. They get a problem and they run to the devil that caused the problem. In the time of trouble, the name of the Lord's a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it, and they're saved. Your safety's in Jesus. Cleave to Him. Get full of Him. Flow with Him. He's your help, and He's your strength, and He's your deliverance. Glory to God. Very present help in the time of trouble. And He brought me through that. And 5 years later, the Lord let me meet my lovely wife, Sister Candace. And God began to replace everything in the world we lost. I'm more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. And you have to have that tenacity as Paul. I'll let none of these things move me. Because if you can't keep up with the footmen, what will you do in the day of chariots? God's going to raise up a strong people. If he's going to raise up a Savior company, and he's going to raise up a company in whom he's going to manifest himself. See, the sons of God is not a people who carry a label. The sons of God are a company of people who manifest the Son of God in their life. That Jesus is seen, they're not seen. Jesus is heard, they're not heard. Hallelujah. And God's going to take this army, and the earth is going to be turned back to the Lord. And every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, from the Chinese to the uttermost parts of the earth. Every knee. Hallelujah. That day the whole earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. He has promised it. Hallelujah. It's going to happen. We're not defeated. We're not on the downside. We're not whipped. We're not being stomped to death by the devil. We're conquerors. We're more than conquerors. We rise in the power of his name and stand victorious in this end age and let the world know that our God still rules in the affairs of men. There's a place you can come where you'll stand and decree a thing. And God said, I'll bring it to pass. One day I was down praying and I was begging God for something, and God said, son, get up. I never called you to be a beggar. Stand up, you're a son. Come in before my throne boldly. Make your wants and petitions known. As a loving father, I will hear thee and I will bless thee and keep thee. Hallelujah. For he said, I have come to strengthen you out of Zion. Neither did I enter into thy life, he said, to weaken thee. Neither did I come into thy life to become a source of confusion. But I came into thy life to deliver thee out of the confusions of the past wherein ye have walked. I have come into thee that the light of the Most High might be revealed in the midst of thee, that thou should know of a surety that thy God dwelleth in the midst of thee. Oh, behold the Lord in all of his beauty as he shineth forth in the midst of thee. See him, open thine eyes, and see the Lord thy God seated upon the throne of his righteousness in the midst of a people who will glorify his name. Yea, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and declare ye the things of God and the goodness of God. And behold, the Lord himself shall confirm his word in thy midst with signs following. Need not to worry nor fret, for the Lord God said, I shall never fail thee. Behold, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, for I have called thee, and I have called thee as my everlasting abiding place, that I might abide in thee and be seated upon the throne of thy heart to rule in every affair of thy life. Therefore acknowledge me in all thy ways, and I will direct thy steps. Follow not after thine own understanding, for behold, thine own understanding can lead thee astray. But if thou shalt hear what I speak unto thee out of the depth of my love and mercy, behold, thou shalt walk in a place of rest, and thou shalt walk in a place of strength, thou shalt walk in a place of victory that thou hast not known. My soul hath no pleasure in them that draw back, but behold, if thou shalt press forward, behold, the Lord said, I will walk with thee, and thou shalt not fight the battle alone, but I will go ahead of thee to fight for thee. I will stand on each side of thee, and I will be thy reward to bring thee up, and I'll be the path that thou shalt even walk on, saith God. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Great is our God. Great is his strength. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And he says, and I'll walk in you. One black brother said, while you're walking, he said, I'm in you. And I'll be your God. And you'll be my children. Can you imagine? You have been impregnated with divinity. The Epistle of Peter said you've been made a partaker of his divine nature. And Paul said, I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Grow up in you. Consume you. Swallow you. change you. Hallelujah. You can take a piece of beefsteak and you can put it in your mouth and chew it and you can swallow it. And they can take and put a stomach pump on you and pump that piece of steak up out of your stomach. But you leave that steak in your stomach in the digestive tract long enough and that steak will finally become you. Hallelujah. Now if you'll let God consume you, if you'll let God consume you, even you got to do it bite at a time. Some of you don't want to surrender altogether. But if you'll just let him have a bite at a time till he consumes you, that's how you become him. By letting him. You must see, we have tried for ages to make our flesh the Word. It's a reverse process. The Word was made flesh. Your flesh will never become the Word. But the Word must become your flesh. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody said, oh, I want to live forever. Well, the only thing that's eternal is His Word. The only thing that abides forever is the Word. Unless the Word becomes you, you won't make it. Hallelujah. Plain and simple. So why draw back? I mean, I'm going to say, and I told Edward here, but my daughter is going to be with the Lord when she's a little tot, about two and a half. She got in a mania wanting to play hide and go seek. And she'd run and hide somewhere, and she'd say, I'm hiding. Can you find me? And of course, Mom and Daddy always played along. One night I was kind of busy reading the paper, doing something, I remember now. She went over and dropped down behind the couch, and she says, I'm hiding. Can you find me? And I turned to her mother and I said, do you know what? She's probably so hidden, we'll never, ever, ever find her again. And she jumped up and she said, here I am, here I am. It was a number of years later, I was ministering and the Lord brought that whole scene back to me and said, that's the way a lot of my people are. They say, Lord, I want my life hid with Christ and God until my life won't appear. And God starts working on you. And just about the time you're about hitting Him, you jump up and say, here I am. I'm still here. You know? I don't mind giving the Lord a little glory, but I want most of it, you know. That's our attitude. Matter of fact, the Lord said to me one time, whosoever glorifies, that's where it originates. Amen. I don't care how big or how small they are. Who is it glorifying? Is it glorifying God? Is it glorifying the man? Lord also spoke in our midst and said, men build canals, I create rivers. When a man makes a canal, it's the same thing, same depth, same thing. And I've been in services where it's the same performance night after night, after night, after night, advertising, same thing over and over and over. You might as well mark it down, that don't come from God. Maybe the first time it did. But we're big imitators. And I want to tell you with all loving kindness, 99+9% of the television ministers are operating as canals and not rivers. Bar none. Amen. A river is wide and it's deep. If you're following God, you know what God's going to do. Who are you to plan what God's going to do? You know. I was in a tent meeting one time, went to visit a fellow. They said, y'all go see. He said, man, said they're being slain in the spirit over there. And so I went there in a Sunday afternoon rally service, and the tent was pretty well full. And this fellow got up and said, oh, it's at 2 o'clock this morning. God wake me up. Woke me up. He said, everybody that I pray for this afternoon, if they're living right, they're going to go down the spirit. And he walked down the aisle. I tell you, folks started laying down. He just started toward them. I mean, they went. I mean, they weren't going to admit they wasn't living right. You know, some of the things we've done. But God said, wait a minute. I want a people that's going to be hid, so hid in me that they are not going to be seen.
That's right.
They're not going to be heard. You're going to hear God. Hallelujah. You're going to hear God. You're going to walk away. I heard. You know, I've been places where prophecy. It always bugs me. Somebody said, well, who gave that prophecy? Well, are you looking to the person or are you looking to God?
Amen.
I mean, it's the word of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, it's like, well, I'm going to believe that. If Isaiah didn't give it, I'm not sure I'm going to believe it. I don't believe so much. Jeremiah's not quite as good as Isaiah. So I'd rather hear Isaiah's word than I would Jeremiah's word. You know how foolish that would be. But we get in that realm today. But this is that whole realm that's got to go before this age is over with. And God's raising up a people. You're going to tune your ear in to hear God. You're going to walk with Him like you never have before. And you're going to know that the Lord, He's God. But we have to have a mindset for it. The Bible said we've got to be transformed and conformed to His image by the renewing of our mind. Now, Paul said in one place, you have the mind. Another place said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I am a spirit. I live in a body. And I have a soul. My only contact with the spirit realm is by my spirit. See, your soul is like a digestive organ. Because my flesh is enmity against the spirit realm. It's enmity against God. It's against that spirit realm. So the soul, and I, that's my terminology. It takes the things of the spirit and digests it so that my body can receive the benefit of that that cometh from the spirit. I was 10 years with Eli Lilly and Company, Indianapolis, research laboratories, pharmaceutical biological laboratories. And there's medicines they make. A lot of times when they come out of the laboratories, the medicine will do the job, but it's not compatible to your body. Your body will rebel against it, repel it. And so they have to develop what they call a vehicle. And one of the most common, people think they put alcohol in medicine to make alcoholics out of people. but they found out that this medicine is will dissolve into alcohol, and alcohol will be consumed by your body, and therefore the medicine is carried into your body, and you get the benefit of it. Well, the soul becomes that vehicle that takes the things of the spirit that your flesh couldn't receive and makes it digestible enough that you can receive the benefit of it. So when you hear this from God, see, but when God made you open to spirit, He made you open to at least four spirits. Not only are you in tune with the Spirit of God, but you're also in tune with the spirit of other people. You're also affected by your own spirit. And also the spirit of the enemy. So you need a filtering system put in your soul. You have to renew that mind that it rejects those things that are not of God. And will only receive the things of God to be able to be a blessing to you. To change you, to conform you to His image. And therefore you let that mind of Christ that you have begin to function as it ought to. And before we turn the service back to our dear pastor tonight, I want to pray with you for God to begin to open up your mind to Him and to the spirit of revelation. Because the Lord said, there's much truth I have yet to speak to my people. But you have ears that are dull of hearing. I remember when I was traveling the first time and I was driving from Anderson, Indiana to Oakland, California to preach a meeting. And I got me a USA map. I was following a red line, Interstate 70 and up to Interstate 80, down to Oakland, California. And Oakland, California was a little dot on that map. And out beside it said Oakland. And just a few miles outside of the city of Oakland, I had a name and address and where I was supposed to go. I had, that red dot didn't tell me one thing. But somewhere in that red dot was the house, church, address I got to go to. So I pulled into a place that had a map and I said, do you have a map of Oakland? a street map, detailed map. And you know what? He gave me a map almost as big as the whole United States map I had to get there, just for the city of Oakland. And I took that and I pulled over the side of the road, and just about a minute or two, I found exactly how to get there and where I was going. Now, that's what God's doing. There's things in this book, Paul calls them mysteries, that's been hid from ages past. We've been all these years getting here. But you and I are needing information out of this book that Grandpa and Grandma didn't have to have because they weren't here. But you need it. And you need your mind opened to the truth and the understanding to be able to prepare yourself for all that God has promised for you and I. Because your mind, number one, has been filled with garbage of philosophy of men who haven't had any more of a vision than they had back before the turn of the century, before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But you need your mind open. God's opening some minds. We're hearing people. I mean, when I put this book of Revelation, God in 1954 began to show this to me. First little book that I wrote was Caught Up or Caught Away. And it was a little four-page pamphlet. And I tell you, I thought, man, people would be so excited about that. Well, the fellowship circle I was in, I quit getting invitations. And my first wife, I had this on tape. My first wife said, "Don't you dare put that in the book. You put that in the book, nobody will speak to you." Somebody said, maybe that's the reason the Lord took her. I don't say that. But after she passed away, the Lord let me get this in print. And I found people all over country that seen truth like this. And they said, "Brother Moore, we never seen it in print. I believe things like that." Yeah, the first one to put it together. And I said, if it can be seed to help somebody. Somebody said, I read up, said, "I don't believe that." And I said, "Well, did it make you read the Bible anymore?" He said, "Yes, sir, I went through the Bible trying to prove you was wrong." And I said, "I done a good job then. I made you read the Bible. You wasn't doing that before you got my book." Amen. Hallelujah. So, whatever reason it is. But I know this one thing. I need my mind open. I know there's things. There are things yet I want to know in Him. And I need that mind opened. I need knowledge in Him. I don't need knowledge about Him. I can read the Gospels all about Him. But I need His knowledge. The Bible said the knowledge of the Lord. We need the knowledge. I need to be in practice. See, you can read about Einstein all you want to and understand his theory of relativity, but that still is not the mind of Einstein. You haven't got his mind. You only know about his mind. And too many folks know about the mind of Christ, but they haven't got His mind. God wants you to have His mind. He wants you to have His knowledge. Hallelujah. Whew. Easier said than done. But tonight I want to believe God for it. And I want you to stand with me. And I want you, number one, to lift your hands. And I want you to thank God because He loves you so much tonight. Lord, we thank You because You love us. We thank You, Lord, because we are instruments. We are instruments of Your righteousness. Hallelujah. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And by being in You, Lord, I cannot be Your righteousness apart from You. I'm not just made it blanket. But as I abide in You, Lord, I have made these things. They've been made unto me as I abide in You, and You abide in me. Hallelujah. Lord, You're the cleanser of my flesh. You're the cleanser of my mind. You're the cleanser of all things. Hallelujah. And I thank You, Lord, for the power and the anointing of Thy Spirit that we feel right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to bring those hands down in front of you and hold them out where you can look at them. I want to tell you right now, on earth, these are the only hands God's got right now. And from Genesis to Revelation, the power of these hands is fantastic. How God has used hands of believers to be able to do what He wants to do. And I want you to take those hands that are now blessed of God, and I want you to lay them on two or three people, and I want you to command that the mind of Christ be awakened in them. Hallelujah. All over this place. Hallelujah. As a body ministry, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We command that mind of Christ. I command the mind of Christ, the Lord, that thou shalt awaken, O God. Hallelujah. That mind, that the knowledge of the Lord shall cover my brother, Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. Lord, a fresh stirring. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm awakening, Lord, to the greatness of God and thy truth and thy ability, O God. Hallelujah. It's greater than what we can believe or receive almost in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for that mind of Christ. Hallelujah. That you impregnate my sister with right now, Lord. Awaken it, hallelujah. Awaken, let that mind be in you which is also in Christ Jesus. Let that mind be in you which is also in Christ Jesus. Let that mind be in you which is also in Christ Jesus. Let that mind be in you which is also in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The mind of revelation, the mind of victory, the mind of power, the mind of authority. Hallelujah. Glory to God that you shall begin to think, oh God, through this very being and revelation and help and strength in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that mind of Christ. Hallelujah. The mind of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thou shalt awaken and quicken, O God, my sister. Hallelujah. Let that mind of Christ be in my sister in Jesus' name. Let the mind of Christ be in my sister. Hallelujah. Lord, let that mind be in my sister. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Let the mind of Christ be in my sister. Hallelujah. Awaken her and quicken her, Lord, to truth, O Lord, she's never had before. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for victory. Thank you, Lord, for thy help. Thank you, Lord, because you love us. Praise God.
Father, we thank you for opening our minds to receive. Give us understanding of your word. But most of all, give us a hunger and a desire to know you and to know you as we've never known you before. Thank you for it. Now, Father, give us a good night's rest tonight, and we can come back tomorrow to report that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.